Scripture this morning is from Revelation, really the whole fifth chapter of Revelation. So I encourage you to take your Bibles or a pew Bible, and let's turn to Revelation chapter 5, and you follow as I read it for you. This is God's holy word. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lamb that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.' And the four living creatures kept saying, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshiped." Thus far, God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O thou worthy Lamb, we ask that we might hear your voice today, that we might respond as we ought, that we might also come to the Lord's table today full of the desire to enjoy all that you have prepared for us, all that you are giving to us, things even far beyond this table, Lord, that you've prepared for those who love you that cannot even enter into our minds at this point. We pray, Lord, that we would respond by grace, that we would give you the worship and honor that's due you, and to say indeed from our hearts, "Worthy is the Lamb." We make our prayer then in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today in preparation for the Lord's Supper is particularly Revelation 5:12. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." If we could hang a banner out over the table today, I think those very words would be more than appropriate for us. They certainly do make an excellent message without anything added to it. According to the Apostle John, these words were spoken at a convocation, a get-together for interaction and consultation, if you will, a consultation in heaven. Before God's throne stand four living creatures representing all creation. Seated with God are 24 elders representing the church of God. And surrounding these beings are myriads, thousands and thousands of angels. At the throne itself there stands a lamb, looking as if it had been slain. As we have in times past looked upon this very scene, we must remember that the lamb is indicative of sacrifice, the sacrifice of an animal designated in the Old Testament and used to represent the forgiveness of sins through that which has been offered to God as the object of his wrath, that which has taken away that wrath in what we call propitiation. This lamb is that which John the Baptist spoke about when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." His appearance as one slain points to his death on the cross. The fact that he is standing shows that he is risen from the dead, and that his location at the throne means that he has been and continues to be exalted. The Lord's Supper, I suggest to you this morning, is a celebration of the Lamb and of his victory. These words from verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb," set the tone for all of us who are coming to the table to meet with our Lord and Savior. For we are meeting with the Lamb who was slain. You'll notice that the angels begin this refrain, and then all the creatures follow their lead and offer praise. Notice that in verse 13, there is equal glory for the Lamb and for him who sits on the throne, which we understand to be God the Father. And I challenge you this morning to come with these words, certainly upon your heart, if not upon your lips, "Worthy is the Lamb." They are reflected in some of the hymns that we've sung this morning, but let these specific words be spoken even silently as you greet the one who has invited you to eat with him and to share his glory. Let us think about these words for a few minutes before we do actually lift them up to him in the Lord's Supper. There are three things here I think that you want to consider today. First of all, that in this phrase, this sentence, "Worthy is the Lamb," you have a revelation. And secondly, you have a proposition. And finally, you have a celebration. And all of these together make a wonderful approach to the Holy Supper. Earlier in the passage was revealed the existence of this book, as it's called here in our translation, or scroll in some other translations. And it being in the right hand of God, which is the hand that most often in Scripture, and our pardons to those of you who are sinister, that is left-handed, it is in the Lord's right hand because this is the hand with which he rules, the hand that holds the scepter, if you will, the hand of power. It always seems to point to the right hand. And so this scroll that is in his hand is his. It belongs to him. And in fact, the indications are that he has written it. He's the author of it. So whatever is in there is the decree of the Lord. What a wonderful thought that given to his people, given to all creation, given to the angels around about, is this book of the decree of God, which is a blessing. That is, the scroll itself contains the blessings, contains the things that God has intended for his beloved people. And yet, the scroll is withheld to a certain extent because it is only for one. Could they find one among all? But it's intended for one that is worthy to receive it, worthy to open it. There are times in Scripture when there are things that are not to be opened except under certain circumstances. I think especially of the Ark of the Covenant, where only the priests and only at a certain time were they given the opportunity and the privilege and the permission to look inside. And when on other occasions people decided that they wanted to take a peek inside, they were struck down for it. When the ark came back from the Philistines, and a certain one of the Israelites who found it decided he wanted to look in, it caused him great trouble, and then It spread to the rest of the community around. There are things that you cannot look into, that you have no right to. And we may say that that man who wanted to look inside the ark was not worthy to look inside. And so in this picture, we also have a scroll that's sealed up. It has seven seals. Again, the indication that God himself has put the seal upon it. And it's not to be broken. It's not to be looked upon, except as God grants permission, and he only grants permission to one who's worthy to receive it. Now, the revelation you see here is that there is one that is worthy. The congregation, as it were, looked about, they cast about to see who might be revealed among themselves. And to this side, there were these indications of all creation, these four living creatures. Could there be found someone, some way, something worthy in creation to open it? And none was found. And then there were the angels, the thousands upon thousands. And among them, there was no one who was considered worthy. And we might be very surprised at that. Surely there is an angel of God. Surely among these sinless spiritual beings, there would be one found worthy. And yet none among them. And then, of course, among the redeemed, among the church, there was only sinners redeemed and cleansed, of course, but none worthy to open this book of blessing, this decree from God, this document containing all the blessings. And if it were opened and received, then those blessings would flow forth. And yet there was none. And so the writer says, "And I wept. I wept because in every direction I looked, among every group that I looked, there was none worthy. Therefore, the blessings were withheld." And the consummation of God's pouring out of all these blessings was not started. But the servant of the Lord says to him, "Stop weeping. Stop weeping." What a revelation. That in itself is a revelation, do you see? When God says, "Stop weeping. Stop feeling that there's no hope." You enter this new year, and you look at politics, or you look at society, or you look at all the things that are going on, and you say, "There's no hope. We can't get out of this mess. We're all going to perish. There's a plague upon our country. There's a plague upon the world, and we'll never escape it. Woe is us." And God says, "Stop weeping. I have the answer. Because there is one." And then all eyes, the eyes, as it were, of angels, however they see, of all creation, however it appertains to grasp things, the people of the church look and they see that there is revealed to them the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who can open the book and reveal its contents and apply those contents. And he can do it at any time. He can do it in any place. No plague will stop him. No political leader will stop him. No social movement will stop him. He is worthy. God says, if anyone unworthy looks upon this book, then it's curtains, it's over. But don't weep. There is one. There's one who is so bold as to reach out and take from the right hand of God this book of blessing, this hope, this security, this life that the book represents. And he takes it and he grasps it. He evidently grasps it very firmly, very assuredly, not tentatively, not saying, oh, I wonder if this is the right thing for me to be doing. Because this was intended from before the foundation of the world. It was intended that this Lamb be there to bring blessing, to do what no other created thing could do. This one who is equal in power and glory to him who sits on the throne, this Lamb, this Lord, this Jesus Christ, our Savior, he is worthy, and he need not fear, and he need no reticence. He takes the scroll and is able to open it. Oh, my friends, today we all know the unworthiness of mankind. And yet there is offered with the taking of this scroll yet another revelation. And that is that those who trust this Lamb, those for whom this Lamb was slain, those who belong to him, they not only are observers, but it is revealed that they are participants with him as he opens and sets forth these blessings. They are participants with him. They have faith and trust. And this is what is revealed to us. There is a Lamb, a worthy Lamb, a Lamb who has everything that we need and want, everything that God has revealed, all that is in Scripture, and even that which has not even yet been made known to us, it's all found in him. And one of the great glories of eternity will be there's so much more to be revealed. Yet we have enough in the Scriptures. We have enough in what God has said. We have a book of our own. And God says you may open it anytime. You may study it all the time. You may read it over and over again, and it will never cease to bless you. And it fits right in with this other book of blessing. In fact, it points to so many blessings. And it says they are yours. They are yours. Oh, what a wonderful revelation. Worthy is the Lamb is a revelation. What a joy to know it. What a joy to find it. What a joy to discover it today. And that revelation is all summed up in the Lamb, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, these words constitute a proposition. Now, proposition is a statement of fact. It claims to be the truth. If I tell you that fire is hot, that's a proposition. It might be challenged, but it's put away very easily, the challenge, because fire is hot. It's the truth. I can tell you the night is dark, and you may object, but it gets dark when the sun goes down. That's a proposition. The night is dark. And here's a proposition for you. Worthy is the Lamb. The Lamb is there. He exists. The Lamb is not a figment of our imaginations. The Lamb is real. And everything said about him, everything revealed concerning him is true. And when I tell you today, simply quoting from the Bible, worthy is the Lamb, I offer you a proposition. Do you believe it? Or will you challenge it? Will you say, oh, there is no Lamb? And if there is one, he's not worthy. And if there is one, there's no honor and glory and power for him, because all those things belong to somebody else. But the proposition is no. Worthy is the Lamb, period. Worthy is the Lamb, because he is a sacrifice acceptable to God. There are all kinds of sacrifices offered throughout the ages, and even today people are offering various kinds of sacrifices in all kinds of religions in the world. But there's only one sacrifice acceptable to God. Only one thing that does satisfy God. And I tell you that Jesus died for sinners today. That's what the table is saying to you. Jesus died for those who believe in him, that they might not perish but have everlasting life. And that's a proposition that you ought to take to heart. That's a proposition you ought to believe. That's a proposition to take hold of. That's the truth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And that Lamb died, yes, but he rose again. Even as we said, his position of standing before the throne is an indication of his resurrection. He rose from the dead victorious. And there's another proposition. When Christ died for sinners, he succeeded in paying the price for their salvation. He is victorious. That's the truth. As one exalted to the throne of God, he is the ruler. All things in heaven and earth have now been committed unto him to rule and to judge. That's the truth. There's a proposition for you. But it comes down again to this. Do you believe it? Or are you obstinate? Are you resistant? Oh, I don't want that. I don't like that. I don't want to have just one Savior. I don't want to have just one religion. I don't want to have just one way to please God. But God says, no, this is the truth. This is the truth. Believe it. Now, why is a person worthy? He's worthy because there's some merit involved. Worthiness has to do with merit. Worthiness has to do with the connection that's made between the person and any other factor involved. His merit, his greatness is the proper thing. And that's the proposition again. This Lamb is great. This Lamb is worthy because, first of all, he's the creator of all things. Why is he worthy to have all things? Because he created all things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. The Lamb is worthy because he created all things. And now all things have been committed to him, and he's worthy as well. He's worthy of our attention. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our worship. No one else is worthy. There's another proposition. No one else is worthy. Do you believe that? Or do you say, oh, there's plenty of worthy people or created beings or whatever around? No, there's just this one. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who created all things, who saved sinners, who now receives all those who come to him. And I have good news for you today. The proposition is this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Here's the proposition. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. All these propositions, all these truths are put forth. The question is, do you believe it or not? Do you have objections? Do you have concerns about it? Or can you say with God's help, oh Lord, I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Lamb that was slain. I believe in the Lamb that's risen from the dead. I believe in the Lamb who has all things in his power. I believe. That's the proposition that's presented to you today. Do you believe or not? And finally, I said that these words are properly a celebration. Another way to put it is that they're a song. Now, we sang in the old Lamb, Precious Lamb. There's another little chorus that we sing sometimes, Worthy is the Lamb, Worthy art thou, O Lord. It's a song to sing. It's a song because it's a celebration. A song is a response of the heart to a great matter. Now, it might be a sad matter. There might be tragedy and sorrow. I'm sure there was many lament back in Kentucky and Tennessee from these tornadoes that swept through there recently. I'm sure there are all kinds of war places in the world and difficulties where people sing a sad song. Even old Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the weeping prophet, sang a sad song over the destruction of that great city and the carrying away of that people. They're sad songs, but friends, this is not a sad song. You come to the Lord's table today singing hallelujah, singing praise to God, singing worthy is the Lamb. Basically, you see, there are two kinds of songs, the sad ones and the happy ones, but this is a happy song. This is a song to be sung from the depths of your heart in joy, a song that reflects how before you were lost, before you were hopeless, before things were so sorrowful, but now there is salvation. There's hope for the world. There's hope for you. There's a future. 2022 does not look like a dark, gloomy place to have to live, but it's a place where the Lamb is worthy. Above all, this is a song of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for dying for sinners like me. This is a song of praise to God who planned from before the foundation of the world that you should not perish, but that you should have a Savior. This is a song of commitment. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. Oh, what a song to sing today. What a song to bring to the Lord's table today. Worthy is the Lamb. It's been revealed to me. This Lamb has been revealed for my salvation. The proposition is there and I believe it. And I can't keep silent. I will sing. I will praise. I will give thanks to God for this worthy Lamb offered for me, now presented to me with all the blessings that accompany him. Oh, my friends, today, come to the Lord's table. Come eat and drink in celebration of the Lamb that was slain. All glory and power and wisdom and honor, all things that are happy and glorious are in him. And he says, yes, come and take a bite and come and take a drink. But in so doing, what you're really accomplishing is saying, Lord, I'm fully invested in and part of all that you are, for you have invited me to do so. And today, this morning, quoting again from Revelation, different places, Spirit and the Bride say, come, come, come and enjoy. For this is the worthy supper of the worthy Lamb for those unworthy and yet made worthy by the sacrifice and the blood of Christ. Thanks be to God. Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to participate with the Lamb in this supper, in this great celebration, in this understanding, and in this faith. We pray today, Lord, you'll impress us greatly with that, even as we come to the table. In Jesus' name, amen.